It is Thursday the 7th of June, and this is episode 121 of Digital Outbox. Welcome along. I am Chris, and I'm joined by Ian. Hello, Ian.
I am Ian. Hello.
And it is a big happy birthday to us.
Doo-doo-doo.
We're in the out of the terrible twos now.
Yeah, we're three.
The toddling threes.
We're three.
Yeah, 3 years old. Can you believe it?
That means I can run around now. Yeah.
We can start. Well, we have to baby protect everything, or toddler protect, won't we? I'm not sure what that means. We have to take your microphone away properly.
Oh. Hold on.
Yeah. Anyway, that's amazing that we are three. But never mind.
That truly is amazing.
If you'd asked us 3 years ago, never would have thought that would happen.
As I said 2 minutes ago, if you'd said that after episode 9 and Mean Shaq's iOS, I don't know, special that lasted an hour and a half.
Super excited.
And then Paul giving us a feedback of, sweet, you need to calm down. You need to shorten it a bit.
And we've never calmed down since.
No.
Got a lot of stuff to get through this week. People have been saying stuff, so we better regurgitate some of it now. First story tonight, do not track. What's that all about, Ian?
Last week we talked about Microsoft's best decision in years, and the IE10 was going to, by default, have do not track switched on. This obviously displeased advertisers. And interestingly, the first the latest proposed draft has come out, and basically Microsoft can't do that. They've got to let the user choose. If they don't let the user choose, then websites can ignore the setting. And so it's...
So if the default is that this thing is turned on and stops advertiser tracking, actually those advertisers can then ignore the setting, which is brilliant.
And I think that's been the issue along with this, that yes, the setting's there, but there's no reason that a website can just ignore it.
I guess there's nothing to say you can't sort of advertise more, press this button to turn it on. I mean, that is a bit of a weird setting, but I think I said last week, that advertisers are not going to be happy with that. You've got to keep them happy.
Advertisers and a lot of free websites. I mean, a lot of the websites and services are free because of the adverts. You know, it's actually, this is pretty critical to how the internet works at the moment.
It totally is. And just understanding what users are doing and stuff, it is really important. LinkedIn, they've had a poor week. Poor old LinkedIn, the service that everyone has an account with, but no one seems to know why. Basically, it turns out this week that they have been shoving around your calendar details and all the meeting notes that go along with that calendar detail, which includes passwords and names and contacts, without really letting you know they're doing it. So basically, if you've opted into a particular option on their app, it shoves all your data back from your calendar onto their servers for them to do with as they wish, but they have been at pains to sort of limit what they have been doing with that data.
Yeah, and this was only in the iOS app, which has actually gone some nice upgrades to the recent apps. But this is very similar to Path, you know, and just that it was only when people actually dug in and realised what was getting sent that they kind of fessed up.
Yes, it's sort of the sniffing around. I mean, so basically they said it's with the intent to just link your LinkedIn account with everyone else's.
It was to
or everyone else that's on that meeting.
Yeah, so what they were trying to do was I'm invited to a meeting. I send that up to LinkedIn and they come back and say, here's the 10 people you're meeting. Look at the profiles. And I guess if you're working in a smelly fall firm, small firm, you're going to know everybody. I guess in bigger firms, or maybe if you're meeting somebody externally, it would help. But again, LinkedIn's really spammy. And I've never really liked LinkedIn. It's the spam emails that come through, people that leave, but then find their accounts are still active. It's just
we've said before now how it's incredible how they seem to know connections that you kind of don't know how they know. Yeah. And they basically know it because they're sniffing at everything. Now there was a story that it was going back over the wire as a plain text file and therefore open to all. I believe they've said that that's not the case. They say it's going over SSL,
and what they've said is that they'll also that they will I think they the app. In fact, I said it was iOS only. It's not, because this was an Android app as well. They've already updated the Android app so that they no longer send data from your meeting notes. And there's also, they're going to make it more obvious about what information is being sent from your calendar. And obviously, on the iOS side, they're waiting for good old Apple to approve that, which could. And it's interesting, developers have said before that there's a kind of emergency button they can press. I think it's twice a year that they can say to Apple, please release this.
That makes sense. You can prioritize something if these heavy need cases come in. Anyway, it's another case of companies sort of trying to get away with as much as they can and then reeling back once it gets discovered.
It just sums up to me that they're quite a spammy service. And as you said, we're all on it and I don't really know why.
Yep. And not only is it a spammy service that we're all on it and we don't know why, but they're also giving away our passwords.
What?
Apparently.
What a cock.
Apparently, some Russian posted up about 300,000 hashed passwords. So they were SHA1 hashed 6. Passwords.
6.5 million passwords.
So they have. It's now come out that they've got them all, is it?
No, there's 170 million users on LinkedIn. It's actually scarily big. This is only 5%.
It doesn't really matter. I mean, when, 5% of a really, really big number. So it's 6.5 million encrypted passwords. So that is only 5% of the 150-odd million users. But it's still 6.5 million passwords. It's an awfully big number.
It's an awfully big number, which the whole internet knew about. It took hours for LinkedIn to even acknowledge it in their blog post that we're looking into reports and we'll confirm later.
I don't mind that it takes hours, because it can take that long to, because there can be reports all over the place, and if it's not true, it's not true.
But by the time they put their first blog post up, there was already a couple of developers had put out a site called leakedin.org, which allowed you to put your password in and find out if it was your information that's been leaked.
Yeah, but how do you trust that site? That's the whole point, isn't it?
There was two.
That's taking an awful lot of passwords from users.
A lot of passwords, but there was a couple of commands you could run
I'd
in the
never
Mac.
Never trust a server.
Well, there was a couple of commands you could run in the Mac side that you could then, make sure it was doing it all properly and it was passing over the right hash and all that kind of good stuff. And for me, it's definitely confirmed. My password has been leaked.
Well, I've changed mine anyway, and we recommend that you obviously change yours.
Well,
apparently they're going to email directly anyone who is directly involved.
Yeah. I have no email. I've not been locked out of my account. That's now more than 24 hours since everybody knows that these passwords are out there. And even worse, nobody's actually said how these passwords are getting leaked. So for all we know, all these people changing passwords are giving the hackers their passwords.
Yes, we don't know that. And it's also happened to eHarmony and Last.fm as well.
Yes.
And same, apparently by the same people.
Yep, so the eHarmony.
So whether they found another a weakness somewhere that they're now exploiting.
I start to think this is I don't think this is the end. And I also think there's obviously some sort of common fault that whether these companies know what it is, but the hackers obviously do. It's too coincidental that there's some massive leaks. I mean, eHarmony was 1.5 million. But according to some of the security researchers today, they reckon that that's not the full password file, because it looks like it's been chopped slightly. And they reckon there's more to come from eHarmony. And Last.fm's not said anything about figures. All they've said is, please, everybody, change your password.
I do wonder whether these services are using, it's like an Amazon cloud or something. They'll all be in the cloud somewhere. So maybe there's one service that they're all running off of that they found a weakness into
what happens
to get into
when
the
this,
database.
What happens when this happens to Facebook? What happens when our Facebook passwords are leaked?
They're probably public anyway. You probably haven't checked the checkbox.
No.
Keep my password private.
But you know what I mean? A lot of people use Facebook. A lot of the apps that come out now say authenticate me with Facebook and Twitter. And it's almost passed. It's handed over the security side to Facebook.
I think with Facebook, you just got to accept that your data is open anyway. So what the hell? What the hell?
Anyway, this weekend for me will be randomizing everything.
Yes, so it's probably sensible. You use one password.
I use one password, but to be honest, I have a range of different ways of doing my passwords so that I can still try and remember mostly. And I'm just going totally random, and I'll probably all just get set to 20 characters, and I'll just push the random button, let one password do it, and I'll use that as my lookup. It's more painful. But it's a bit like the two-step authentication in Google. It's more painful, but it means at least I know it's going to be me logging in and not somebody else.
Yep. Twitter. There's 400 million tweets a day, apparently. Actually, I read this and actually thought that's lower than I would have expected, actually.
Really?
I know it's a lot of tweets.
That's a horrendous amount of tweets.
But I don't know why. I just expected it to be higher. Maybe it's with all these stupid numbers that we hear. That seems like a very 80s number, that one. 400 million, is that all?
Well, so this was a CEO. This was Dick Costolo. Always want to say Costello. And it's not. It's Costolo. But anyway, I just thought I'd say that. Not that we've got enough to go through tonight. But he said it was mobile usage that was driving it. And interestingly, it's revenue in mobile that is outperforming desktop and web. He also, and I've added it to the show notes, he failed to mention it, but I thought I'd answer. It's spam that's driving 400 million tweets a day. It's nothing to do with users.
I have to say, I don't get that much spam. I occasionally get an account follow me, which is a random one, but I don't suffer too much. Vodafone and O2, they're going to collaborate together and they're going to hope to speed up their 4G rollout basically by sharing their network in a kind of similar way. I mean, Orange and T-Mobile obviously collaborate together, but they went as far as creating a joint merger company, but Vodafone and O2 aren't going to do that, but they are going to share masts and their network in general.
Yes.
Hmm.
And it sounds it sounds a good deal, actually.
It sounds sensible. I mean, from a consumer point of view, it's almost like, are we going to get to the point where it is, you know, where you separate the pipes from the gas? You know, that does make sense, doesn't it?
Just the way you said it, when they separate
pipes from the gas. You know, so are we going to have a network that anyone can hook into? I mean, is that the ultimate end game? Who knows? But basically, it looks like the customers are going to save, and obviously, they hopefully get a better service from it. We did ask our mate Brian Lancaster. He's what might be considered an industry expert. And Ian, you sort of posed some questions to him.
I did. Kind of came back with some answers. But because, as you know, we are not mobile industry experts.
No, we know nothing.
So we asked Brian, you know, is it purely to save money? Yes, it's all about the money. So they're trying to get away from site ownership and engineering as much as possible and focus on content and bandwidth suppliers.
They don't want to have the spanners anymore.
No, and I guess when you think about it, you know, all these big companies were trying to share things like, you know, engineering teams and all that kind of good stuff. And
well, he said that they actually subcontract all those people, pretty much all those people now anyway, so yep. It doesn't really matter what network, if they've got a lot of subcontractors they can call on.
No, I asked them about limit customer choice, because in my little head, it's like, you know, is this just down to like two main networks now? Because everything everywhere, Three's and the piggybacks onto that, and you've got O2 and Vodafone kind of teaming up. Is it just two mobile providers? But he reckons no. We'll still have plenty of deals from each of the networks to choose from. So it shouldn't hamper customer choice. We also asked, will it deliver 4G more quickly? And the answer was no.
so the main reason they said was to speed up 4G rollout, and he doesn't reckon it's going to be any quicker.
Well, it's no. And so what Brian's talking about is an existing cornerstone agreement between both operators to share same sites. So that's back to towers and rooftops and masts and indoor arenas. And there'll still be some duplication of network hardware. And then the final question was, surely it's the auction that will dictate pace of 4G. And there's more to it than that. So it's not only the auction, so the LTE Spectrum Award auction, but also they're still not clear about which technology that they will use in the UK. So there's agreement in the technology standards. And then it needs a greater range of consumer devices. So it's almost the chicken and egg again.
Chicken and egg, yeah.
And also importantly, it's the backhaul network. It's all these additional, it's all right having great, you know, almost, you know, home broadband speeds in the mobile network. But
they just cannot cope with it.
No.
Basically.
You know, if I'm sitting at lunchtime and I'm playing, you know, like Ghost Recon on my mobile phone, or I'm downloading a torrent, which I'm sure I wouldn't do. But if I'm watching like video streams, I'm watching HD content, and it's instead of, you know, like half meg and 256K, and it's up at like, you know, 10 meg streams, that's...
In some respects, it's nice to know that they're trying to sort that out ahead of time, because, you know, that's what we've been arguing about just regular broadband recently. They were for years, they were selling us what broadband would be able to do for us. And as soon as it became capable of doing that, they reeled back and said, we can't cope with you doing what we told you you would want to do. So it looks like they're trying to, and it's good to see that they might be actually trying to get a bit of, you know, hopefully we'll get 4G, which is a one technology across the whole of the UK. I'm sure that that will come back and
because America looks really confused when I watch them, when it's,
they don't know what 4G is.
When I see some of the podcasts, there's a 3G masquerading as 4G. There is the 4G that's out, but then there's competing 4Gs, and it's this device works on this carrier and this device works on that carrier, and it's like, whoa.
It just gets very confusing the way that you know they have to release two different handsets to work across all their providers, or an expensive chip on board that can cope with both.
I just hope we're a small enough country that we'll just have 4G, I can buy any device and I can jump on any network.
Be nice. Digital music, they are selling more via digital music than they are on physical sales. The British phonographic industry, which when it's written down does look a bit like the British pornography or pornographic industry.
I wouldn't know.
No, that's what it looks like. And I nearly read it right out wrong. Anyway, they've come along and said that, we've seen a rise in the digital sales and there's been a fall in physical, which now is it 55.5% is digital sales.
So big change. And the one that I've pulled out is that there's more spent in subscription, or not so much more, but when you compare it to the kind of subscription rates in America, so here we are spending 86.5 million on subscription rates, or around
probably pretty much all Spotify.
Yeah, but that's around $133 million.
I wonder whether the iTunes cloud thing also included.
I don't know if they count that, because there was all that debate about, is that really streaming or is it? It was playing with words in there. But in America, the spend on streaming is $241 million. Now you compare the size of population. So it's...
Yep, it's a big, big difference.
Yeah, so I don't know if that just means is it still physical media over there? Is piracy, you know, a bigger issue, you know, in the States than it is here? And I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, all I know is that I like my Spotify subscription, and I don't think I'd be without it now. I think now that they've got apps on board, it's brilliant. And it's great music discovery. And at the moment, they don't quite know, you know, they don't make as much money per unit of listening, if you like, than they would via a CD. But this goes to prove that they are starting to tip the balance of, you know, they're working out how to make money out of digital.
And also,
music.
I think Spotify as a brand and a service is here to stay. It feels permanent.
Hopefully.
Well, it feels permanent. I still feel shaky. Compared to the other ones. That's what I mean. You know, so if
it's certainly got the groundswell and it's got the support, and it's because it's now gone stateside as well. It's large enough, but I still worry that because you still see songs from your regular charts that aren't available.
No, that's true. But I'm thinking back to all the different, you know, sites that started streaming, like Sky Songs and all that kind of nonsense. These seem to have came and gone. You know, there's no market share. We're wasting our money. Disappear.
And Spotify got that market share, and because it enabled you to listen to tons of music by listening to adverts, they kind of scale back on that now, unfortunately. But that's why they've got the market share, is because they enticed people in like that. And now they're kind of getting to a position where they're actually starting to make money. So
gold.
Good for them. Instapaper, another thing to annoy certain iOS fanboys, but Instapaper has now come to Android.
It has.
Which sounds like good news. I mean, Instapaper was always supposed to be the global place to shove all your things to read later, basically.
But Instapaper, and I've written them down, Instapaper, Instagram and Flipboard. It was almost like these kind of iOS apps that will never come to Android. And people always said, well, I would move, but these apps aren't there.
Because they were far too beautiful to leave the iOS environment.
Not so much, I don't even know so much beautiful, because Instapaper's, there's some things that are nice for it, but I wouldn't class it as beautiful.
Does it beat Evernote anyway? I don't think it does.
No.
I don't know which is larger.
No. But what was interesting is the developer is Marco Arment. He'd even said 3 weeks ago in an interview that he's no interest in bringing it to Android, but he's obviously playing possum.
Well, he's clearly building it.
He didn't. He outsourced it to Marco used to work for Tumblr. So he obviously had close ties with the team who developed the Tumblr app for Android, and he outsourced it to them. So it's available.
So it was true. He didn't have any interest in it. It was the Tumblr people that did.
Do you know what the worst bit was? I retweeted one of his links, one of his emails he got. It's because there's a way of supporting the service by subscribing, and you get a couple of extra features. I think it's like $1 a month or like $5 a month. So it's really, really cheap. But he got an email saying that because he's released it on Android, that somebody stopped his subscription. For no other reason, just because it's now
because
an
Android. Because he said he didn't like his work phone, which was an Android, and he hoped that he felt dirty for going onto the wannabe copycat.
You just despair with people like that.
Their heads are weird. Google have been busy, very busy. Sure we're going to hear much, much more about this is it next week or is it the week after the IOs all starts?
It's Monday.
Is it this Monday?
It's this Monday. My credit card is trembling at every Mac update coming next week.
So Google have, basically they've updated their maps in a clever technological way. They're taking 45 degree angle photos from the air, basically, and they have worked out a way of creating 3D maps from that, from those photos.
And the video looks fantastic.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I got very excited over that video. You know that I did that pinpoint laser scanning pick not that long ago. This blows it out of the water. It's unbelievable. I mean, basically, if you get a chance, just do a search for Google 3D maps, because effectively it's just real life.
Basically, it looks phenomenal. It looks absolutely phenomenal.
Unbelievable.
And it's coming to, I mean, and they said it wasn't in response to Apple's next week, but it clearly was, because there's none of these features are out now. But basically it's going to come to Google Earth. And already in Google Earth, I do like zooming in and just going straight to Street View and then coming back out in Google Earth works really quite nicely. But when this 3D view comes, it is going to look awesome.
I do feel sorry for all those people who had spent hours, creating the 3D models for Google in Google Earth, and now they figured out how to do it without them, basically.
There's probably still a place. There'll still be places around the world where it probably makes sense. I mean, Google, what they're talking about is by the end of the year, that communities of over 300 million people, this technology will cover. That's a big figure.
Yeah, and it's amazing not only that they build this technology quite quickly, but how quickly they can then roll it out. I mean, this to do these things, it involves planes flying in tight formation and all sorts of...
Well, the interesting thing, there was a little plane flying over Glasgow about 3 weekends ago, and it constantly went over, about 20 times. And I thought, I bet you that's one of these firms that are doing map making. Because I couldn't, the grid pattern it was doing, I mean, it was a little tiny Cessna type thing. It wasn't just like I'm struggling to land. He was clearly going in a planned grid over the city. And I thought, you swine.
And not only are they now doing these sort of more aerial things, they've actually compressed down their Google camera for Street View down onto a backpack, basically. So now they can take it to places that they couldn't get it to before.
Yep, my next hill walk, I'm going to take one up there, and no, I'm not. But they've got, basically they can go anywhere now in the world, and
wherever
take,
you go,
take pictures.
Google can see you.
And there's offline maps coming to Android. I guess that was
that's great news. So basically, you can set up your directions ahead of time. It'll cache your maps. I mean, it did a pretty good job of that anyway, to be honest. But this is actually going to mean that you can actually probably properly get route data as you're going as well. So it's good news.
And just one little thing, I just can't see Apple competing with Google on maps.
No,
much investment. I mean, can you see Apple sending guys with backpacks and cameras on?
No,
it's not going to happen.
No, it would be a waste of their money, because it won't be as good. They don't have the technology to do it.
I think this is going to be a real... I think they'll have some flashy demos, but it's a bit like Siri. Siri came out a year ago, and it's still not here properly in the UK.
Tim Cook said that there's still work to be done on Siri, which kind of implied that they will be announcing some more stuff.
And I'm sure they will, but the whole thing for Siri for me is it came out in America, it can do all the proper directions and stuff, and it's never came here properly. And I can see that happening with maps as well. I can see maps being a American thing, and the rest of the world maybe are lagging behind. I hope not.
Google have said that they want this technology to go across all the platforms. So and clearly, even if they get dropped from
Google Earth,
official maps,
the Google Earth client and iOS will be updated to support this.
And I think they want to do a map app, right?
Well, I can't see Apple blocking them. They don't block any of the mail clients, so they can't block them.
Plus, the navigation and stuff on is such a good, compelling reason to buy, you know, an Android phone at the moment.
It is. And that's why I don't think they'll bring it out. Because it's going to be I think there's going to be a real difference. Anyway.
They've also bought Meebo.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Who? Meebo was a sort of chat service. But they came up with a web toolbar.
News to me.
Yeah, good, because it's news to me as well.
I remember Meebo when it was like web-based IM, so I couldn't use IM at work, but I could use Meebo. Fantastic.
Okay. But basically, it looks like there's a technology buyout here, and people are talking, does this mean we're going to see some toolbars from Google? Yeah. Well, I guess it's trying to get Google Ads into everything that you browse, I guess, is the general
concept. I'm just waiting for the Google Plus toolbar.
It's coming. It's definitely coming. They've also bought QuickOffice. They're clearly using up some of their cash that's sloshing around. QuickOffice was a way of, on your mobile, allowing you to edit Microsoft Office documents, basically.
Yep. And seemingly it was very good. I've seen a number of people saying it is actually a very good product. It was I think it was £14 when I checked the store.
Yes, yeah.
So I wasn't interested in buying it, because I just not something I would really do. But
yes, and I can't remember whether this was the one that was all we couldn't believe it was actually working. So they, I can't remember whether it was a virtualized copy of Office or something that you were running off of.
This is an actual app that you download.
So it's. Just it's a bit like Open Office.
Yeah, and I do wonder whether it'll just be over time, whether they'll just make it that you can, because editing Google Docs, I don't know what it's like in Android. You see in iOS, it's a bit sucky. You can do it.
I've never really tried it on the mobile. It's not worth it.
You can do it and you can get away with it. The best way I've found is if you create a form in like Google Spreadsheets, getting the form as a data inputter works really well, because you can get, it's just basically some drop downs and you can quickly add rows of data. So from that point of view, it's fine, but editing spreadsheets and stuff, it's guff.
And it's not designed for a mobile. Anyway, so that's they've got that, and that no doubt they'll do something with it, if not just to steal people's brains. Airtime finally launched.
Yeah. So,
because everyone was waiting for it.
Yeah. So obviously this is just me. It wants to do this story. Airtime. I know where this is going. Don't worry.
It's not been something that we've really sort of covered on. But this is effectively
It's been talked a lot in a lot of the kind of a lot, especially American tech sites. But Guardian's picked up as well. Airtime is from Sean Parker and Sean Fanning. Sean Parker was the guy that you know. Seemed to sneak into Facebook. Sean Fanning was the guy behind Napster and got in there as well. They got $35 million in funding for this service, and it's basically a safe version of chat roulette.
Yes, yeah, so it's Facebook login, so be prepared to lose all your details.
Yeah, and it uses...
And it's literally... They're calling it a fun Skype. Well...
Yeah.
Well... Surely fun. The Skype's just as fun as you make it. or they call it a hangout with just two people.
And I have seen people saying it's a two-person hangout.
Which, surely a hangout's more fun with more people.
Well, I just look at the ten people hangout, and you get hangouts on the air, and you can record them and broadcast them on YouTube. And I'm thinking, why would people put $35 million in seed funding in this? They're obviously well connected, so that it's not like me and you just starting up a video chat service.
No. And the other thing is Hangouts are on Google Plus, which has
Ghost
two
town.
Users. And this is clearly going to be using Facebook and probably will be promoted and used via all those people. And that will be having, how many users is Facebook now?
800 billion, I think they're up to.
800 billion?
Yeah.
I don't think they're up to that many.
No, they're up at 800 million at the moment.
That's everyone using Facebook several times over.
Yeah. The interesting, when they launched it, it was a bit buggy. They had a whole lot of celebs, you know, that were there. So Jimmy Fallon was acting as MC, and they had Martha Stewart, which was a bit bizarre. Olivia Munn was there, Snoop Dogg was there, and they were trying to dial these people, and it wasn't really working. And they tried to dial a lot of American TV hosts, it didn't work, and he just went, "Whose ass are you going to fire?" And they all kind of went, "Yeah."
Yeah, we are going to.
One little nasty bit, which didn't quite like... As you're doing this video, which I've not tried, because seemingly on the first night, it was just all males trying it, as you would expect. And there was one guy actually got Zuckerberg.
Wow.
Well, he was trying it out, and the killer was like, yeah, yeah, hi, yeah, end. But he did take a, he did take a screenshot of him. and you match people up via the social graph, and that's why they want to tie in with Facebook. I think that's why so many of these apps want to, you know, use Facebook as a sign up. They get so much off that social graph now.
Yeah, so you're going to get to see random people from Facebook, apparently, yeah.
Who are like you.
And what's to stop them from being rude?
Well, interestingly, it takes photos every few seconds to make sure you've not got your penis out.
And who checks that? And what happens if they do? Do they plaster them up somewhere?
I have no idea, Chris. I think you should road test the service.
Rogues gallery.
And
right.
I think you should road test the service and do a write up in Digital Outbox. How quickly were you barred?
New record. Right. Let's get off that topic and let's get, because E3's also been going on. That gaming show that years ago everyone said, well, we're not going to concentrate on E3 anymore because it takes too much of our time and money. And now they all massively concentrate on it all the time. So E3, Microsoft, Nintendo and Sony have all come out with what they're going to do over the next, I guess it's year, isn't it? This is their kind of big announcements for the year. Yeah, there's going to be some games.
Right, come on. I'm not letting you do that. So right, I'll rattle through the Microsoft one.
Let's start with Microsoft.
Because I just want to talk Halo 4.
From the other day when you were really like, oh, it's going to be rubbish, going to be stupid. Like after Apple keynote. Yeah, yeah, bye.
It is a bit. The Halo, and even the Halo 4 video did nothing for me because it was basically like,
it just looked more of the same. It looked more of the same.
There's new enemies, there's Forerunners and there's weapons. And I'm like, who cares? I've never completed one of the Halo games. Where's the multiplayer? And the multiplayer they've talked about, it's a couple of interesting things. So the co-op, they're going to have a season and it's not going to cost any extra. And the season is basically every day they're going to drop about 15 to 20 minutes worth of gameplay as a new download that you can play with friends. This will run for a number of months and that'll be classed as season one. And if that's successful, they'll then start to do a season two and that'll cost. So they're trying a different model for co-op rather than just saying
that's quite interesting.
Give some
maps,
but it was the multiplayer read up that I read tonight. They've kind of slickened up the pace of respawning. You don't need to wait the kind of 5 seconds. By default, everybody's a sprinter. So you have sprint plus you get one of the extra loadouts. There's lots of new loadouts in there. It just sounded like they've really focused on trying to maybe. I'd real doubts. Because they kept on talking about extra armor, you'll build it up, you'll get extra weapons, you'll build it up. And I thought, this is just Call of Duty or Battlefield. But the review ended with almost the slickest game of Halo multiplayer that they've played. And it played really well.
I just hope they haven't ignored the balance, because as soon as you get proper gamers playing these games rather than just reviewers having a play around, if there's something unbalanced, people are going to find it straight away, and that's all people will do the whole game through.
Agreed. But the studio, I didn't realize the size of the studio that Microsoft have put together. They're 250 strong, and they've been working on this for 2 years.
It's their biggest, most important franchise. They've lost their best developer that was working with them, so they had to do something. So they've kill it with numbers. Let's see what happens.
So I'll just pull out a couple of highlights because we can't go through all this.
Can we just say Splinter Cell's all about stabbing people in the eyes, apparently, this year?
To be honest, all of E3 was about stabbing people in the eyes or shooting them in the head with a gun, right, point blank range. I actually found it quite distasteful.
I did as well. I'm getting too old for this.
It was like I
didn't find it cool at all. I just found it pretty grim.
I turned into a dad, basically. I was watching it. I was like, I don't want to do that. The whole kind of keeping up, and it wasn't just like pulling somebody over and like killing them. It was pulling somebody over, pulling them right up in your face and going, I've stabbed your eye out and I'm twisting the knife. Yeah. All while getting shot, but it was done in bullet time, so you weren't actually getting shot. And it's like, this is guff. Anyway, so Splinter Cell looked quite nice. FIFA and Madden with Kinect. The Kinect stuff looked quite interesting, especially in maybe the audibles for the American football.
That was quite funny, yeah.
Except that the audibles were, it was like snap, and then wait 3 seconds for it to work out. Oh, he said snap.
Work out that you've actually
right,
said.
I'll start the animation. I'd rather just press a button. FIFA, if you don't like a decision you swear too much, seemingly the referee will reprimand you, which I thought was quite funny.
It's quite
as well.
Clever. And it's quite quirky.
And you could actually call out subs quite easily. So as you're, instead of going through menus and stuff, and I can see that being, it's not going to make me buy a Kinect. See if you've got it. I can see you maybe using it. Fable, meh. Gears of War, meh. Forza Horizon, I thought looked really nice.
It looks nice, but whether it will transfer over. So this is basically Forza engine running cars and all the Forza cars, but in an more open environment on open roads with, you know, other vehicles and stuff.
Burnout, so Outrun.
Burnout meets Forza,
I think Gav explained it as Outrun. And I thought it's probably going to look like that. But that looked nice.
Let's wait and see. We haven't got long to wait with that October, so that's obviously quite advanced on.
There's new Kinect voice commands. There's lots of, I guess Microsoft pitched this more than any other platform as not just a games console. It was like, it can do
They've
lots
morphed
of,
it into a smart TV box, basically. And that's, you know, because they have also announced that they're going to bring Internet Explorer to, you know, you're going to have a browser through the Xbox. So effectively, they've turned their console into the ultimate, you know, TV, smart TV box, basically.
Yeah. And it looks like it's the death of Zune. So instead of Zune music, it's now Xbox music. So instead of like 7 million tracks, it's 30 million tracks. It doesn't really say
they didn't say much about that. It's probably because they can't release it across territories
exactly.
or something. And they can't.
But I did wonder if they would tie it. I wonder if they charge you more or would they tie it into gold subscriptions to again try and say keep paying us your $40 a year and you get something on top.
To get the most out of all these things, though, you need an awful lot of subscriptions, and they all cost a bit, you know. And
yes,
and I don't really have any of those subscriptions to make use of any of this, so it doesn't that interest me that much. But I guess if I had a subscription, it would be good.
They've teamed up with Nike, so they're doing a Kinect training type thing, which looked interesting. I guess the one that got a bit of press beforehand and was most talked about afterwards was a smart glass. Basically tying up with either Windows 8 tablets or iOS or Android tablets or smartphones, and using that second screen to interact with the Xbox. So sharing media, resuming media. You know, I'll watch a film on a plane and I'll finish it off on the Xbox. They didn't talk about how that works with...
No, and what services it worked across and all those kind of things. So it's impossible to tell.
Well, there's no... I've got to feel there's no way I'm going to be watching a video within the video player on my iPad and I'll be able to resume that on the Xbox.
No.
I'm going to have a smart glass app that I've bought a film through and I'll be able to resume it in there.
Exactly, or maybe, you know, maybe one of their existing content suppliers, so you're a Netflix subscriber or something like that,
And
But also it's used, you can actually use it as input, as well as it displaying you extra information on, say, TV shows and stuff. So it's kind of just trying to use a device that you're going to have, you know. But what it felt to me was it was a concept announcement and they hadn't actually worked out the details.
Was,
I think that's
but,
more to the point.
But also it felt like, well, you know, the Wii's coming with a Wii Pad.
We've got to do something.
You know, we've got any device. And they said that they didn't bring Internet Explorer until they had some way of controlling it properly. And they believe the smart glass is the way you're going to control Internet Explorer. It's all touch driven.
It's a clever way into controlling your TV without, but you know, you have got a controller, so there's never been a particular issue with controlling
And a couple other things I didn't like. They showed you Game of Thrones and they said they've done a concept demo with the Game of Thrones HBO to show that as the action changes on the screen, you know, so they're going into the north or whatever, the map is displayed on the kind of second screen and it shows you where in the world. And you're like, I just want to watch a TV program, thanks.
Again, I think we sound a bit like dad again.
We do.
Let me watch my TV.
We do. They showed you also like a Madden, so you can take one of the playlists and actually say, well, I'm going to draw the routes, you know, so I can draw the route of the wide receiver, and instead of following what's preconceived, it's going to go this crazy route.
Again, it all sounds fantastic as a concept, but it's just how does it get implemented? And you've always got to have a game which doesn't rely on it. So it's like, what's the point?
And this is a really cheap jibe. Really? Internet Explorer? But then it was a really fast browser in Windows 8. So
It's classed as the fastest now. I think they think they've taken the
Tomb Raider, I will shoot you in the eye with a bow and arrow.
Yeah, so it's more shooting in the eye, but this time with a bow and arrow, yep.
I said New Gods, which is basically God of War, so basically stabbing people with a sword in the eye.
But it probably won't be as good as God of War.
South Park looked rubbish, but I loved that the developers...
Well, it looked like South Park.
It looked like South Park, but I loved that the creators came on and talked about how they were going to use second screen, smart screen, and then it was like, no, we're not. It's just a game.
It's just a game.
Shut up, Microsoft. Dance Central 3. Now...
Dance like Usher.
Do you know Shaq thought Usher was great and he really fancies getting this for his Kinect? And I'm not jesting.
Wow. There you go.
I know you look in your face, it's like, yeah. But honestly, he loved him. He likes him.
Someone had to like it.
Call of Duty Black Ops. It's Call of Duty. So that was Microsoft.
Isn't it funny how I'm yawning at games that must take, you know, they take hundreds of millions of man hours or whatever.
Where was the Xbox 720? Yeah, where was the new console? None.
They're not doing that. They're positioning their console. And they've done a better job. They're the biggest selling console now in the world, I believe. They've hands down won. And the fact is that Nintendo are coming out with a new console and we're even at them going, well, whatever.
I gave you the perfect lead into a new console and you blew it.
You did. I half came round to it in the end. Anyway, Nintendo, yes, they've come out with the Wii U, more details of showing sort of some of the final hardware rather than the kind of prototyping. But everyone's kind of going, yeah, whatever.
They're
shoving everything in. They're shoving gyroscopes in this controller. They've got a second screen on the control pad.
They didn't show one thing. And maybe it's just a different demographic they're going after. There was not one thing I saw in that and thought, that looks nice. Or that looks like something I'd want to do.
There was a time when, you know, you could guarantee that Nintendo games were going to be awesome games. They could completely... blow you away, but the thing is the previews and stuff that people have had and the journalists aren't getting so worked up about it, so I'm not so sure it's going to work out. But that's a bit pessimistic, isn't it? I'm sure it'll be very fun.
I'm not so sure. I just think
even with Miiverse,
even with Miiverse, which is their kind of social online network, and you can see what,
so they're
going to
take their
Wiimis and...
Yeah, they're going to take their Wiimis and instead of just having them sort of bumble into your, you know, onto your console screen at the dashboard, as it were, it's going to be a bit more interactive so you can go and have a chat with people and stuff.
The day is getting ever closer when Nintendo will start to release on Apple and Android.
Go the way of Sega.
It just feels that way. It just looks like a really tired set of hardware.
They basically took what they did with the Wii and they've run with it, as in they've put all these extra gadgets and input ways and stuff like that. But Kinect kind of killed all that when they said, let's get rid of the controller.
Yes.
And talking of controllers, they've released an Xbox controller for their console.
Did you see
console.
That? It was total rip-off. Yeah. I mean, it's like, we've got this
However,
touchpad.
Good on them, though, because at least it's not another PlayStation bloody controller, which is the worst controller in the world, of which they've now released a gold one.
Yes, I did that image, which is great for listeners. But that summed up Sony's show for me, that one of the things they emphasised with, and it was the UK blog or the European blog, because obviously the Olympics are coming, we've released the gold controller.
Gold version of the worst controller in the world. So hopefully they'll release an Xbox controller for their console as well.
The irony I always think with the DualShock is you think back to that Boomerang controller that they launched and people were like, you can't release a console with that. Okay, we'll use the previous one. No, but you can't.
Yeah, we can't do that either. We want Xbox controllers. But yeah, so Sony have been chatting away as well and they've just been talking about some games.
A couple of their games looked spectacular. I won't lie.
Which one stood out for you then?
Beyond Two Souls. This is from the creators of Heavy Rain. So gameplay wise, it's probably not going to be fantastic, but it looked really good.
So kind of real life kind of action. So you're kind of interacting. It's almost like an interactive movie, isn't it? That's how Heavy Rain kind of played out.
Yep.
Really.
I thought God of War's always looked great, but the gameplay looked exactly the same. Like lots of button bashing.
And I never really enjoyed... I really didn't enjoy God of War, no. I have to say. It looks very, very impressive.
But it's lots of button bashing and then lots of quick time events. You know, like,
two seconds,
you know, like press X, and you've ripped some god's head off. And it's like, well, that's fantastic. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
The Last of Us. So this is from Naughty Dog. So the guys behind Uncharted. This was, again, very violent. But it looked pretty damn good. But again, it was there's been a pandemic, the world's in crisis, and you and this kid were running around this city, but it was very violent, and it looked really good, very atmospheric. So there was a couple of games that actually stood out for me there, and the gold controller.
Well, So that, I'm sure we'll talk about some of these games when they do come out. Well, we won't talk about Wii U games because we won't have a Wii U to play them on. We might snipe and jibe from afar.
I will never buy a Wii U.
That's almost a challenge, that.
Well, somebody owes me a tenner because I said when the Wii came out, I'll never buy a Wii. And it's like, you can't not buy a console. Never bought a Wii. Okay.
See, that was the beginning of the end.
That's it. Money.
Yep. Done. I guess some of the manufacturers also came out, or some of the game developers came out. So Ubisoft, they're talking about their Just Dance, Far Cry, Wii U games coming out. Zombie U.
Rubbish.
It sounds rubbish already, doesn't it? Assassin's Creed 3, I guess that's because that's already out on all the other consoles, so it must be a Wii U.
No, Assassin's Creed 3 is not.
I thought it had.
Assassin's Creed 3 is that crazy, let's go and kill American cowboy ones, and you're some sort of Indian, and we'll kill British people.
Watch Dogs.
Did you watch Watch Dogs?
No, I haven't watched Watch Dogs yet. So
Watch Dogs is very interesting.
Watch Dogs, yeah?
Yeah. This is the
Rockstar, so it has to be good, surely.
It's not. It's Ubisoft. It's not Rockstar.
Damn it.
I'm looking. Did I write something down wrong? No.
No, I think it's me.
You just made that up. Watch Dogs was basically, think a next gen Grand Theft Auto. Very Blade Runner-y, 24. I've written down Rubicon, but nobody else watching in the UK, so you have no idea what I'm on about. But it was almost Matrix-y as well. And just watch the video. There was some chatter about there was no next-gen consoles. It wouldn't, but there's a lot of these games that they just said 2013. They didn't even say February. Some of the games have said February and all that kind of stuff. There's a couple of them that all they said was 2013. And
right.
It wouldn't surprise me if a couple of new consoles came out next year that haven't been announced yet. And what we saw was...
Well, PC. I mean, PC have now moved the brackets on it. I mean, consoles were ahead of PC for a little while there, with what they could do. But PC have definitely moved ahead now. So it's about time, I guess.
There was another one. I'm just looking.
Like
up.
Say, quite often they'll even start building games on the old console just to get the tools in place.
This was running on it was a big PC with an Xbox controller. What they said was it's coming to Xbox and PS3 next year. They didn't say that at the show. It was afterwards they kind of quietly said that. And there was another one that I haven't actually listed, but it was Star Wars 1313, which is a bizarre
name.
They
released a demo of that, didn't they, on the PC?
So this was like a grimy, gritty Star Wars, and you're a bounty hunter and it's in the universe.
It was an adult version of Star Wars was how they kind of sold it.
But graphically...
They probably stabbed people in the eye.
With a Jedi thing, probably just burned a hole through them.
Straight through their eye.
Like Terminator 2 when he gets shot and they do that effect and it's like, oh, I can see through his eye. but that again was PC and they didn't say much else. It wouldn't surprise me if that becomes a next-gen console game because it looked amazing.
Look, yes, it was another step up in facial animation basically and stuff. It was pretty class.
Yep.
And EA kind of said they were going to release all their games again and sell it to us all over again.
Yep. And the only one I highlighted to you when we were chatting the other night was Need for Speed Most Wanted. So this is from the guys that did Burnout Paradise and it looks like a Burnout Paradise follow-up.
Just in a different guise basically. It was the next developer that was willing or the next publisher willing to give them some money.
Yes.
SimCity coming back though, that's an interesting
and
thing
it
to
looks,
see.
I don't know, there's a close-up of each of the individual houses and they're all animated and stuff happening in them. It's like, my goodness, the level of detail is incredible.
SimCity is always one of those games where I never really played it and I always felt like I probably would enjoy it if I got into it, but it's such a deep game. So I hope that they have that kind of nice way in. Be interesting to see. Other than that, it's all the same titles again, just increase
Pretty
their
much.
Numbers by one.
Pretty much.
Yeah, but you've you've made sure I can't miss this in the show notes, because I think you want to highlight what was missing.
Last year, everybody E3. Was talking about 3D.
Yeah, where was 3D gaming?
And it was
all our consoles are totally 3D capable.
It was, so PS3, 3D, Microsoft had some 3D, there was a 3DS... And ironically, they were talking about maybe doing a bigger 3DS this year, as if it wasn't failed enough. Well, let's release one that's slightly bigger because that will help. So 3D, I think it just sums up the way 3D is going. I think it's dead. It wasn't talked about at all. Streaming games, We heard a lot about it last year. It was very little. Although, interestingly, they did ask on live where your iOS client was, and it's still in review. So 6 months in review. Well done, Apple.
Yeah, thanks, Apple.
And I just wrote down new consoles. So Microsoft did say that we've had nothing at E3, and true to form, there was nothing. And nothing from Sony either.
There's a lot of whooping and hollering.
Yeah, I just, this felt like a filler. The whole show felt like a filler of there's something else coming, but this will really do.
I think it's just the state of the economy. It's the year that is, had things been going swimmingly, this would have been definitely a year of consoles. And we said that last year. So you never know. Maybe they'll keep it going for even longer. They've certainly made a platform of it. So we'll see. Anyway, that is the end of the news. Amazing. We've actually finally got to the end of the news. That did take a while. But let's have some picks. I'm just going to quickly say, go and search out Google I.O. on Google, because there's a new Chrome experiment, which is quite fun to play around with, all about creating a little machine where a little particle fires and you've got to direct it around to get it from an input to an output. Simple as that. But it's actually, again, it's amazing these things run in browsers and how slick they are. It's very clever.
Is this tied up with Google I.O. later this month?
It is. Ah, yes, okay. They've released it in time for Google I.O. Yeah.
Very good. Very good.
You've got one, and Tam's got one.
Tam's got one.
If you can give us both.
Virtual Tam. I feel I should put on an accent.
Virtual Tam. Oh, my God.
I'm just thinking that I could probably splice together that review, because it took bloody an hour of a review just to review a mouse way back in episode 12 or whatever. Hi. It's Tam here with a review of, I won't do anymore. He pointed out there was a great new Mac bundle. So productivemacs.com, 8 applications for the price of sum of $40, $39.99. Just in case $40 doesn't equate in your head. But you get some actually really good apps. So Rapid Weaver, which is a good app for doing, it's a bit like a slightly simpler Dreamweaver. Lots of template support. There's lots of templates you can buy in industry, so you can very quickly get a website up and running if you're not wanting to get, you know, dirty with HTML and all that good stuff. DevonThink, it's almost like a Evernote and steroids, if I call it that. So you can, it allows you to store a lot more in it. It's a lot more intelligent. You can do a whole load of great searching within it. Printopia is a little app where you can set it up in your Mac, and if you've not got one of the air printers, you can just have your Mac running and you can send from your iOS device to any printer. But you can also send it to PDFs and to Evernote. So it's a great way of getting content off easily.
Whatever, yeah.
Mail Tags is a little app for tagging and your mail. So it's just, again, to try and help you if you get like hundreds of emails a day. Something like Mail Tags will let you get in there and find things a lot quicker, but you do have to be a bit more.
Or just use Google Mail.
Yeah, that's what I do. And then there's some lesser ones. Mac Journal for journaling. Envola, I think, was for creating screenshots and tagging it. Trickster, I've no idea. And HudaSpot, I'm sure, was for indexing and doing some clever stuff. But as a bundle, you're basically saving $250. So if you've got 12 days to go, and that, or sorry, 11 days, 11 and a half days. To go, so plenty of time.
Generally, one of these things, if you're going to buy one of those apps anyway, then you might as well.
If you're interested in buying Rapid Weaver, you'd as well just buy in a bundle, because you'll already save money. And my pick, because as usual, when one bundle comes out, somebody else will bring their bundle out. So my pick is Mac Updates. I don't know if it's a summer bundle or, but it's certainly is for running for the next 13 days. This is a bit dearer, so it's $49.99. But I thought the apps in here were potentially a little bit stronger. So Parallels Desktop, which
costs $80 straight off. Yep. So you basically, if you can apply Parallels,
you're done.
Buy it through this.
You're done. If you're one of the first 10,000 buyers, and chances are you're not going to get this because it's already at 9,500. So you got BusyCal for free. See if anybody wants BusyCal, let me know. I can give them a license because I've got one spare now. I'm not some sort of torrent fiend. So if somebody really wants BusyCal, they know where to get me, or they can get in touch through the website.
Well, they have to listen to the end of the podcast and find out.
Yes, and it has been a slightly longer one. Sorry, Bob. the one for me, ScreenFlow 3. So this is a really kind of like, you know, almost regarded as one of the best screen capture tools on, video capture tools on the Mac.
And this is it kind of Camtasia for the Mac?
It is, and Camtasia is out for the Mac anyway. So if you're used to Camtasia, it's out there. But ScreenFlow does it slightly differently, and it works really well. And it's $100. And
In this bundle, it's not.
It's so for me, this was insta buy. It was just like, right, I'll have that. That's a nice tool that I can now start to use legitimately. Civ 5, again, $40, and it's in this bundle. And then you're on to kind of lesser tools, to be honest. They're the kind of three biggies. Jaxter, no idea. Espionage 3, no idea. Speed download, I'll just use my broadband, thanks very much. I don't need a tool to make it better. KeyQ, I think one of my pick last week was a free tool for bringing up keyboard shortcuts.
Shortcuts, yeah.
KeyQ was one that was, it's actually been, it presents it a lot more friendly format, but it was $30. So I'll probably use that now that I've got a license. A better Finder renamer is a great tool for renaming files. Far better than Finder, but there's all other tools better than Finder. And the last one was My Living Desktop. You too can have animated backgrounds like it's 1997.
And like you realise that really it's just a waste of power.
I was even more annoyed at the email being a license code. I won't use it. I just want ScreenFlow. But it's a really good bundle. It's running for another 13 days. And highly recommended.
Yeah, I mean, to say Parallels is a great purchase anyway, obviously, and the ScreenFlow for those two things alone. Don't care about the rest.
And if you are interested, hang fire until I put a link up on our webpage, because chances are I'll get an affiliate link in there and I'll get some cash.
Excellent. Go to our webpage and click that link. Click, click, click.
Hi, Henry.
That is the end of the podcast. Whoop, whoop. If you want to find out more, and if you want to click our affiliate link, www.digitaloutbox.com. Yes, please. Email info@digitaloutbox.com, and Twitter and Skype. If you would like to use either of those two messages, what methods? Oh, I've had a bad day at the office. It's Digital Outbox on those two services. Ian, where can we find you?
I'm on Twitter, the Sweeper. My blog's iand.net. And I'm just glad we're finished, because I've never seen you so happy, because you can go and eat.
I've got to go to Tesco.
Oh,
ooh, every little helps. So I'm on Twitter as CheesyUK, and my blog is chrishutchinson.org.uk. Although I don't know why I said that, because I never update it, but it's in there anyway. There you go. That is it. That is us. And we will speak at you again next week, when it won't be our birthday anymore.
Oh.
Oh.
Bye.
Bye. Forgot to say bye.
The best bit is, if you get this far, there might be a competition running as well, depending on how generous we feel. I might have to add that in as an addendum.
You should, if you've got to the end.
your reward.
your reward for getting this far.
Or I could just DM Brian and say, by the way, it's a competition. If you're the only person that enters it, you'll win again.
Oh dear.